Good morning, everyone. We're so glad that you've joined us this morning here at Westminster Presbyterian Church. My name is Paul Tower, and it's my privilege to welcome you here this morning. We have just a couple of announcements to go through. The first is going to be that if you would like to follow along with the service, you can follow along on your electronic device. For those of you that are at home, just go out to our website, westminsterpca.net, and you will see our online bulletin there that'll have the order of worship with the music, the lyrics, everything out there. Additionally, I want to highlight two other things. If you regularly come each week and you have not been, would you be generous to me and register? You'll see it's the third button down. It says register to attend. That gives us an opportunity to know who's going to be here each week and also to be able to look back and see how our services have been coming along. And finally, if you have small children under the age of 4 that are going to use the nursery, that link, that register link, will also give you an opportunity to sign up to let the nursery workers know how many children to expect during the week. And then the other item I'd like to point out is the top right corner has the Give Online. So for those of you that enjoy worshiping through tithes and offerings, you can do that online by clicking that Give Online, and there's a whole page that will open up. It'll show you how you can give by phone, by text, you can give through an app, or you can give by giving directly to the church. For those of you that come each Sunday, the offering plates are still put out. We don't pass them during the service for sanitation reasons, but the offering plates are still put out in the back, so you can feel free to continue to give that way. We haven't been highlighting that aspect of our worship, but we know that it is important to honor God through our tithes and offerings, so I just want to share that with you. I have two other announcements. Next is the baby bottle boomerang for the Sumter Pregnancy Center is still going on this year, and you can participate through that virtually, either by check in the mail or going online to the website there. And then the other item I'd like to stress is we're doing officer nominations for the offices of elder and deacon. We would like to ask you to prayerfully consider who you might would like to volunteer for that.
Passage from Hebrews, and let this start us off by thinking about Jesus and what he's done for us and how that gives us confidence to come before God in worship. Hebrews 10, verses 12 through 23 says this: when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So we come to God through Christ. We come to Jesus knowing that our sins are forgiven. He has given us his Spirit. He's writing his laws on our hearts. He remembers our sins no more, and we can enter into his presence with confidence. That's good news. So I invite you, if you're able, to stand and let's sing our first song, "We Come, O Christ, to You."
We come, O Christ, to You.
as we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come to you with confidence, that we can come into the presence of our God and King unafraid, even though we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. You have paid for our sins at the cross. You have risen to new life that we would have new life. You have given us your Spirit, and you are writing your law on our hearts. And you have given us your great and precious promises that we will one day be like you in glory. We're so thankful. Will you continue to work in us, even during this worship service, that we would look to you and find joy in who you are and what you've done for us and what you promised to give us. And we ask this, Jesus, in your name and for your glory, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, our one true God. Amen. Let's confess our faith together as we read a passage from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 together. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Again, I invite you to stand if you're able, and let's sing together.
From him rise. Good morning. My name is Sean Matthews, and it's my privilege to lead us in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, Almighty, sovereign, loving, we are so in need and yet so thankful that you are present with us now and present with us always. Holy Spirit, thank you that you abide with us. Thank you even the last few weeks just focusing on the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, focusing last week on temptation. We just want to be engaged, Lord, where you are moving. We want to be a congregation that is mission-minded in our own community, each where you've placed us. And yet we recognize that there's so many obstacles to that. One, our own leisure, our own sin. It's just really difficult to lay some things down and pursue. And we just cry out, as we have in these songs, that you would have mercy on us, that you would lead us, that your Spirit would do amazing work. And also, just even representative with this mask we all wear of just obstacles right now in the season of sickness and viruses, that it is difficult to navigate. We truly lift up our congregation, our church family, and how we navigate that, how we help people to connect, how we can, as a family, church family, do that better, how we can encourage people where they are. And we also just pray that what the future could look like with our church, how we can engage our community, how we can answer the call that you've put on us here, how we could do it in perhaps a better way, in ways that you would show us. And we just pray for our leaders as you lead us. We pray for just our people, the church family, that we would rely on the gifts among us. Lord, you have so blessed us in so many ways. And may we humbly connect arms and do, I want us to just say, extraordinary, miraculous things because of your Spirit moving through us, even in our community and beyond. And Lord, some of those same prayers, we want to pray for connecting churches. Tom and Lucy Wright and their ministry in Haiti, we certainly love partnering with them. We love hearing updates, and we ask that you would move mightily in their area of focus in Haiti and the people there. And we pray for some of those same prayers of connection in difficult times and even resistance, which we could also pray in our own country, but resistance there that they may have with needs, finances, all those things, that you would move mightily. We think of our local church, Bethesda. We thank you just for the connections we have there and the ability to pray for them and their pastor, Al Sims, and even just the Matthews across the street having a newer neighbor that's a member there and are getting to know them. And just thank you for that church and its work. In the same ways, again, we just pray that you would move and connect and help that church as well. And our fellow sister church in our Presbytery, Sardinia Pres, we ask that you would be with them, move mightily as well. And Lord, for our own church, continue to want to lift up officer nominations. We pray for efforts to serve our community with child care, tutoring, and partnering with Jehovah, what that could look like. We pray for just personal and family concerns, health and struggles, even death among our congregation, extended family, loss, and just dealing with that, that you would minister well to those people. We pray for financial needs that are in our congregation and other relational strife, just that you would move in those particular situations, Lord, and allow us to be help there. We even, as students go back to school and teachers engage, want to lift up that situation locally, even students now who are either going to college or at college for the first time or first time in new ways, that you would protect and lead them and the families they leave behind. And We want to lift up our government leaders in the political season we are now in the midst of, just for wisdom as believers how to navigate and how to be less attached there and more attached to you and our brothers and sisters who may even be politically in different places to us. Help us, Lord. And we just lift all these things to you and pray for our own hearts that you would allow us to have fertile soil as the word is preached and land in us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Sean. We're continuing in our series on the church in the time of COVID-19. And we've looked at all kinds of things, but today we're going to look at something that I think is very needed and yet is not easy for anybody. So if you would like to look in your own Bible, or you can look on the screen here, we're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. Let me remind you that this is the Word of God. It is good for us. It teaches us. It corrects us. It rebukes us. Trains us in righteousness. And that's what we all need, especially in times where things are difficult. And the author of the Hebrews, the author of the book of Hebrews, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Father, I think it's easy to say that there may be many of us who are weary of doing what we've been doing for the past several months, weary of this coronavirus and all of the restrictions that we've had to try to live by. We are weary and frustrated. And maybe even some of us are simply just wanting to give up and say it doesn't matter anymore. It's all hard. And so we come with that in our hearts already, knowing that even in the Christian life and living life as a follower of Christ, it's difficult so much of the time. And we can grow weary in following Jesus. Will you help us? Holy Spirit, will you fill us, empower us to fix our eyes on Jesus, as this passage says, and to do what it is that you called us to do with endurance. Give us ears to hear what you have to say to us today. Let our hearts be receptive. We don't want to be like the Israelites were in the wilderness, stiff-necked, rebellious, full of pride, full of themselves. We want to be your humble servants who, when we hear your word, if we see that we're doing something we should not be doing, we want to cease that. If we are not doing something we are called to do, we want to do that thing. We want to be your people indeed. So Spirit, will you please work in us that we would be truly the people of the kingdom, and we would live that way even in difficult times. And we ask this again in the name of Jesus. Amen. I know we have some runners in our congregation, people who like to go on who like to do races, whether they're the 5Ks or the Mud Run over in Columbia or something along those lines. I've got a race for you all. Are you ready? It's called the Death Race. This is a real thing. Since 2004, every year in Pittsfield, Vermont, people show up to a race that is so brutal, they are required to sign a waiver, a fatality waiver. The race is so dangerous in some ways that they say, you could die from this. Now, the details from the race change from year to year, but in years past, death race contestants have had to do things like crawl through the mud where there's barbed wire over the mud puddles, to get on the other side, dig up a stump, and then take the stump with you back through the barbed wire. Or to run 2 miles in a river where you're going upstream. Or climb up a waterfall with a bucket full of rocks. And what makes the race even more challenging is the fact that contestants are not told when the race will begin. They just show up and say, okay, when's it going to begin? We'll tell you. And it could be at 4 o'clock in the morning. And they don't tell you when it will end. You just continue to do what they tell you to do, thing after thing, event after event, until they finally say, okay, now you're done. And they don't tell you how many events there are either. How many things, how many hurdles you have to get through. They simply tell you to keep going and going and going and going until you're told to stop. On their website, they actually have this quote, "We want you to fail. And we encourage you to quit at any time." Anybody ready to sign up? Now, I know that might seem like just too extreme for most of us, but let's think about it. There's an analogy of life here, isn't there? You don't know how difficult life is going to be. You don't know how hard things will be. You don't get to choose when your life begins. And you never know when your last day will be. And you just have to keep going and going and going until you reach the end. And you don't know how many hardships you'll have to go through. You don't know how many difficulties you'll have to face. You just don't know. And in a situation like that, you may feel like, I just want to quit. And then on top of that, as I alluded to in my prayer, following Jesus sometimes can seem like it's just so hard. Trying to be faithful, trying to walk by the Spirit as we talked about a few weeks ago, trying to be all that God calls us to be and recognizing how we fail over and over and over again. And there's so many things that are trying to keep us from running the race. Well, today we're going to talk about endurance. Today we're going to talk about staying in the race to the end, no matter what. So if you like outlines, here's the first point. If you don't like outlines, you can just ignore it and listen. But here's the outline, first part of the outline today. Even in uncertain times, we can be certain of our calling to endure. We can be certain of our calling to endure. In this passage, we see the author of Hebrews writing to a group of people who are thinking about calling it quits on the faith. Whether these are people who are saying, you know what, it's easier to go back to Judaism. it's easier to go back to my previous religion, or whether they're thinking about leaving the faith altogether for no faith. Regardless of which it is, he's writing to a group of people who are really considering chunking it all. And in this, he says this, verse 1 of chapter 12, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." So the author of Hebrews, by the inspiration of the Spirit, is writing to a group of people who are tempted to give in, who are tempted to quit, who are thinking, this is hard, maybe it would be easier to just give up. And in the midst of that, he says, no, don't do that. Endure. Run the race to the end. So that's the next point we're going to be looking at, is that we can think about what God has called us to do in endurance in terms of running a race. That's the metaphor that the author of Hebrews uses here, right? "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now, I'm not much of a runner. I have on certain times tried. I remember one time when Donna and I were, my wife and I were first actually dating, and she's very much into running. And so I went out with her, and I had not been used to running as long of a distances as she was. And I was ready to quit after the first 5 minutes. And she was just, let's go, let's go, let's go. And she kept telling me, okay, we're just going to run to this next stop sign. We're going to just run to this next tree. Of course, when we got to the stop sign and the tree, she'd say, okay, now we're going to run to this next. And she just kept doing that over and over again to try to encourage me not to give up, not to give in. And we weren't even running a race. It was just us out running. When you run in a race, you have a finish line. And you say, okay, I'm going to keep going until I cross that finish line. But you know, sometimes even professional runners, for various reasons, give up. Did you know that in the 2012 Olympics in London, there were 3 marathoners who gave up before they finished the whole marathon? They just stopped. Now, they had reasons, of course, physical injuries or mental issues or something along those lines, but they all three of them, they just dropped out. But God calls us, no matter what, to continue in this race. Through physical ailments, mental ailments, emotional ailments, whatever may be ailing us, God says, don't give up, keep going, fix your eyes on the finish line, and endure. So how do we do that? And that's what the author talks about in this passage. You see, in order to run the race with endurance, we're encouraged to do 3 things. And we're going to go through these fairly quickly until the last one, but they're all important. So in order to run the race with endurance, we're encouraged to do 3 things. The first is this: remember. Remember those who have already run the race. Remember those who have already run the race. In verse 1, we see, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." What is he talking about there? Surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Who is this? Well, if you go back in chapter 11, you see this entire chapter written about people who lived by faith, who trusted God even in the midst of some horrible circumstances, even in the midst of not receiving exactly what they were promised at the moment or even in the short term. Some of them even died before they received what was promised. In fact, one part of Hebrews 11 says that some were tortured. They refused to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. And what the author of Hebrews is saying is it's that cloud of witnesses. They are witnessing to us. It was worth it. Living by faith, enduring to the end, it was worth it. Let's listen and remember that the saints of old, they ran the race before us. Part of what... And I almost hate to bring this up, but part of what I think is an issue for us in the American church is that we live in a soft society. What I mean by that is, as one author put it, our society has become as soft as kittens covered in marshmallow fluff piled on top of a temperpedic mattress. A really soft mattress. Now you may say, nah, we're not that soft. Okay, maybe we're not, but we are a soft society. When I think about the generation that's called the greatest generation, you know, the people who went into World War II, and compare them to even my generation, I'm a wimp compared to the things that they went through. And given that, when we hear things like this, when the author of Hebrews talks about they being tortured and they suffered mocking and flogging and chains and imprisonment and they were sawn in two, killed with a sword and all these things, we think, whoa. You know, just hearing that makes me want to go get a massage. Getting a little tense right up in here. And look, there's nothing wrong with massages. There's nothing wrong with, you know, pampering yourself to a certain extent. But there is something wrong when we're so soft that we can't do what Jesus has called us to do. Again, thinking about the analogy of a race, if you've ever run a lengthy race, you know it is not all fun and games. It's not comfortable. There's a lot of discomfort in a long race. There's even some pain. One of our members runs these extremely long races. And one race he ran in, I mean, when he was through, his feet were like just ripped to shreds. He could barely walk the next day. I mean, that's the kind of thing that long distance runners have to endure. So let me ask you, are we willing to run the race and endure? And if we are, one of the ways that we can do that is by remembering that there are people who ran the race before us. There are people who endured. There are people who suffered tremendously, and yet they crossed the finish line. Well, that's one way that the author says. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, so we're to run. But second, another way that we can see how to run with endurance is to remove whatever hinders us. Remove whatever hinders us. The author of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. Okay, and I've used this illustration before, but I think it bears repeating. Think about running a marathon. Now, that's hard enough as it is. But you're running a marathon in combat boots, in really tight, stiff jeans, with a heavy parka on, a big, large coat, a sombrero, and a backpack filled with biology textbooks. And you're carrying a really big box of glass jars. And someone comes up to you and says, "Why are you dressed like that? Why are you carrying those textbooks? Why are you carrying those jars?" "This is what I'm supposed to do to run the race." No, it's not. You get rid of that stuff. You wear what is appropriate to cross the finish line. What you're doing is not appropriate to cross the finish line. And so that's what the author of Hebrews is saying here. Don't remove whatever hinders you from being able to get across that finish line. What is it that hinders us? It could be all kinds of things. But it's good for every one of us to start thinking, what is it that hinders me from following Jesus? What is it that hinders me from giving my all to Jesus? What is it that hinders me from giving everything I have in me to this race that He has won for me through His death and resurrection? What is it that hinders me? Are we willing to put those things aside? Maybe they are sins, like he says here, the sin which clings so closely. Maybe they're pet sins that we just don't want to give up. But there's another category that I think this is where it's harder for us. I think for most of us as Christians, we can look at our sin and go, okay, that's something I should give up. We may struggle with it, but okay, that's something that should be gone. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to work hard to get rid of it. The other things, though, are those things that aren't that bad. They're not really sin. In fact, they may even be good things, but they hinder us, because we're too attached. We don't want to give them up. Think about Jesus speaking to that rich young man. He's like, "Okay, I'm following you, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Okay, if you want to follow me, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come follow me." And the guy walked away sad, because he realized, I can't give up my wealth. If that's what it costs to follow you, Jesus, I'm sorry. That's too high a cost. Now, is there anything wrong with wealth? No. But his attachment to that wealth was so great that no matter what, he was going to hold on to that, even if Jesus said, you got to let it go. What is it that we cling to, that's hindering us from running the race? It's a great question for all of us to ask. In fact, one of the things that I normally do in my own life is ask, what is it that if Jesus said, I want you to give this up, Stuart, would I have a really difficult time saying, I'm sorry, I can't do that? I would be really hard pressed to say, sure, Jesus, I'll do that. What is it that hinders us? The author of Hebrews says, run the race with endurance. And in order to do that, get rid of the things that hinder you. Make your life goal to run the race, to finish the race. That's what we're called to do. So not only do we think about those who have run the race in the past, not only do we lay aside those things that hinder us, but most of all, in order to run the race with perseverance, with endurance, most of all, we look to Jesus. Most of all, we look to Jesus. take a look at the emphasis he places here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's remember them. Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that which clings so closely. Let's take off those things that keep us from enduring. And let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let's think about Jesus for a minute. It says here that Jesus is the founder and perfecter. Okay, the word founder in the ESV, which is what the ESV has, the NIV says author, and you have different kinds of translations, but basically the idea behind it is a champion, a leader, a forerunner, and that's who Jesus is. He has run the race before us. He has blazed the trail into heaven itself, into the presence of our Father, so that we too can enter into his presence. Jesus is the perfecter of faith. Now, I don't want to get all Greeky on you, okay? But there is something that we need to talk about here. Most translations, or many translations, say the founder and perfecter, or something along those lines, of our faith. The word our is not technically there. It can be implied, but you have to imply it. Some argue that he is not just the founder and perfecter of our faith, because he is, of our faith, but he is the founder and perfecter of faith itself. That you want to know what it looks like to trust God, you look to Jesus. He's the one who trusted his Father in everything, from birth to death. He's the one who shows you what it really looks like to put all of your trust in your Father. And because he did that for us, we too can put our trust in our Father. And then think about what it says here, that the joy set before him, it was for joy that Jesus was able to endure the cross, and he despised its shame. He shamed the shame of the cross. You know, dying on a cross is a shameful thing. They strip you naked, and they hang you up there for everybody to see, and people call you names, and they mock you, and they jeer at you. And they watch you slowly die. It's a shameful death. And here's Jesus, who willingly endured that kind of treatment. Why? For the joy that was set before him. What was that joy? You know, the author of Hebrews never really says. Maybe the joy was to be back in the presence of his Father. Maybe. Maybe the joy was to finish the work the Father had given him. Maybe. Maybe the joy was knowing that you, as his people, would be with him forever. I don't know which one it may be. It may be all of them. But whatever it was, Jesus looked at something that caused the joy of his heart to explode and say, I am willing to go through the shameful and painful death of the cross. I'm willing to endure it. I'm even willing to shame the shame of the cross and say, I don't care. It's worth it for the joy that I'm going to receive. That's how you run a race. You run a race because you know there's joy at the other end of crossing that finish line. The joy of saying, I made it. I'm here. And if that's true for a race, think about the race that God has called us to run in. What is the joy on the other side of the finish line? A life of peace? A life of joy? A life where there is no more sin? A life where we reflect back the glory of Jesus to Him perfectly because we will be conformed fully to His image. A life where there is no more sickness, no more sadness, no more tears, no more pain, no more coronavirus. A life that is so beautiful and wonderful, we cannot comprehend how great it will be. And what God, by the Holy Spirit, is telling us is fix your eyes on Jesus because He is your joy. He is. Because of all that He is and all that He has given to us and all that He will give to us, He is the source of our joy. Fix your eyes on Him and run with endurance. And remember that Jesus is the one who's seated at the right hand of the Father. He rules and reigns. He's King. He's Lord. He calls the shots. And if He wants you to finish the race, He'll make sure that you do it. One way or the other. And that's why the author of Hebrews finishes this with saying, consider Him, consider Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. I've told this story before. There was a time in my life as a Christian that I felt like throwing in the towel, where I really thought, I don't know if this is worth it. I just don't know if believing in God and trusting in Jesus is really worth all the mess that's in my life. And I remember praying in my room by myself, Lord, I want to leave. I want to give up. That's where I am. And what popped into my mind was that passage from the Gospel of John. When Jesus was saying some pretty hard words and a bunch of people left, and then Jesus turns to His disciples and He says, are you too going to leave me? And Peter said, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else is there? It's you or nothing. And that did it for me. Yeah, Jesus, it's you or nothing. That's the choice I have. You or nothing. Since you paved the way, you're the champion who conquered sin and death. You, and in you, I too will conquer. And that's the promise for all who believe in Him. We fix our eyes on Jesus and look at joy, what we find in Him. We shame the shame of feeling shameful things when trying to follow Jesus, and we know that one day we too will rule and reign with Jesus. You know, Stuart Briscoe tells a story of how his daughter talked him into doing a 10,000-meter race. Now, for those of us who don't do the metric system, that's a little over 6 miles. Apparently, there were 24,000 plus participants in this race. And some of them thought they would have a fun time by dressing up as beer bottles. I don't know what that looks like, but there were people dressed up as beer bottles, and there was one guy, apparently, who was dressed up as a banana. The gun went off, and everybody starts running. And the banana guy is like shaking hands with the crowd and laughing it up and making jokes and that sort of thing. And the people who are dressed in beer bottles, they're laughing it up and joking. And after the first mile, they weren't laughing as much. They weren't joking as much. In fact, the banana guy was hanging over a garden fence and didn't look good at all. After the fourth mile, it was so quiet, you could hear the birds chirping, according to Stuart Briscoe. And at 6.2 miles, there were only a few people who actually finished the finish line, who actually crossed the finish line. And he says, the moral of the story is this: you can goof off at the start, but that doesn't count. What counts is finishing. My brothers and sisters, we're called to finish the race with endurance. We're called to run until we cross that finish line. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's run the race to the end for the joy that we have in Christ. Let me pray that we'll be able to do that. Lord Jesus, help us to see that you really are the one in whom all joy is found. And yes, Lord, we know that this life poses all kinds of issues and problems and difficulties and hardships and pains and discomfort. Will you help us to look through those things, to even shame those things as you shamed the cross? And can we look to you? Holy Spirit, will you help us to fix our eyes on Jesus so that everything else will just fall away as that song that we sometimes sing, that we want to turn our eyes on Jesus. We want to look full in his glorious face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what we want, Holy Spirit. Will you cause that to happen in us so that we will run the race with endurance and we will celebrate when we cross that finish line? And this we ask in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand, if you're able, and let's sing our last song, Jesus Master, Whose I Am.
Mine eyes to see.
And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.